This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. God has given us amazing resources to help us become stronger Christians. The past few weeks, we have talked about growing stronger in character and in compassion. This week, we'll discuss growing stronger inside and the sensational tool we're given to accomplish great things. Please join us for our message, Stronger Inside.
Today we're going to take a look at how a person can grow stronger inside. We begin in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Almighty God and Father, great is your holy name. You are kind and generous and wise and good and powerful, deserving of our praise and thanks and obedience. Forgive us for our forgetfulness and our rebelliousness, when our thinking and behavior treats you as less than all those things. In Jesus' name we ask this, amen. Our reading for today is from Luke chapter 11, verse 1. Now, Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation. And Jesus said to them, which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he'll answer from within, don't bother me. The door is shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask and it will be given you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a snake? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Here ends our reading. Dear friends, if we want a stronger body, we begin to work it out and we put good things into it. We lift some weights, we watch our diets. If we want a stronger mind, we know that we need to do some studying and work our mind maybe in reading a book. Or as we get older, I know that some people like to do the crosswords and so on to keep a stronger mind. But how about the spirit, that inside of me? I mean, don't we want confidence, calmness in the midst of chaos, courage and strength for facing all of the things that life throws at us? And who doesn't want a more loving, joyful attitude to face each day? What about the spirit? I recently was at a conference for the YMCA, and they were asking that question. Their concern was, we've spent so much time working on the body and the mind, but we seem to have drifted away from that C, which is a part of our name. How do we work on the spirit, help people grow in spirit through our organization? Good question. One thing I have figured out is that I cannot do this on my own, grow inside, make myself stronger. But the good news is God can and that he wants to. Through a wonderful tool that he's given us called prayer. A few years ago, I came across a statement in a reading in a book on prayer. It says, as you grow in prayer, God will reveal more of himself to you, breathing more of his life into your spirit. He wants to make us stronger inside. God's prevailing power is released through prayer into you. It may come in the form of wisdom or an idea that you're looking for, or courage that you can't muster in yourself, or confidence, perseverance, staying power, patience with other people, changed circumstances, and even outright miracles. God loves it when we pray, and his power is released into our lives. Sometimes it comes as a miracle. A few years ago, when my mother was still alive, she was in the midst of fighting a terrible disease called lupus, and I had talked her into coming over to Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota to have some tests run on her. Maybe they could get some answers for her. That night she called me from her motel room. I was living in another community nearby, and she was crying. She said they ran tests on me, and they found in those tests that my kidneys were shutting down, I guess from all the medication she'd been on. She said they don't look good at all. So Julie, my wife, and I went over and we prayed with Mom. And we asked for healing. And we put it in the Lord's hands. Well, the next day she went in for another battery of tests at Mayo. And the doctors were puzzled. The kidneys were looking better. And so they ran some more tests on them, found that they had totally cleared up from the day before. The doctor said, I can't explain this. My mother smiled and said, I think I can. Now I ask you, was that simply a coincidence? Or was it the power of God's answering prayer? As you read the Old and New Testaments with some great stories about prayer, you learn that amazing things can happen inside of us and to us and through us when we take the time to regularly pray. So let me ask you, how is your prayer life these days? We talk about how wonderful prayer is, but some of us never get around to being much of a regular at it. There's so many prayer barriers, I suppose, as to why we don't pray more. Maybe it's our autonomy, the attitude that I can fix this myself, God doesn't have time. Or it's our laziness, we just don't develop the habit. We leave it until it's time for a crisis to hit us, and then we find ourselves praying more. Or maybe it's our disappointment along the way. God has let us down. Or perhaps there's a lack of trust in God. We wonder, does he care? And is he able to do anything anyway? And for others of us, it might be we just don't know how. Well, in response to those last couple of reasons, Jesus has something for us to consider today. The disciples came to Jesus after they noticed that he was always about the task of praying. He prayed a lot, and he seemed so strong, even in the face of opposition and rejection and the attacks and pressures and so on of life, he always seemed to maintain his cool and calm. It's interesting, they noticed that, decided they need to ask him to teach them to pray. He says, Lord, teach us to pray. It's interesting, isn't it? The men upon whose shoulders rested the responsibility of Christianizing the world came to Jesus with one supreme request. They didn't say, Lord, teach us to preach. They didn't say, Lord, teach us to do miracles. They didn't say, Lord, teach us to be wiser. No, they said, Lord, teach us to pray. They obviously had seen the power of prayer at work in Jesus. And so Jesus, first of all, gave them a model for prayer. We call it the Lord's Prayer. It's really better titled the Disciples' Prayer, for it asks for forgiveness, and Jesus was sinless. Anyway, it's not a magical incantation, by the way, that we put at the end of a meeting in order to give the signal it's time to go. It's not something to be simply mindlessly rambled through. It's a model for approaching God in prayer. He says, when you approach God in prayer, first of all, talk to him about his person. Call him Father. It It's an intimate image. Come as a trusting child to a loving, trustworthy father. Hallowed be your name, he said. It's a time of worship. That name has been dragged through the mud over the ages. Lord, may you be worshipped. I worship you. And may everybody come to recognize how wonderful you are, your name, your person. When you're done talking with the Lord about his person, Jesus goes on, talk to him about his program. Thy kingdom come, Jesus said. May your program, Father, take over this world and come to a completion. May there be signs of your program at work in my life and in the lives of those that come in contact with your good news. May your kingdom come. When you're done talking to him about the program, Jesus says, talk to him about provisions. Give us this day our daily bread. Notice he didn't say, give us this day our daily cake. Whatever we want, in other words. He's talking about daily bread. What we need from day to day. Declare your dependence on him. Ask him to provide. When you're done with the person and the program and the provisions, and you should also ask him for pardon. Say, forgive us our sins, our debts, as we forgive our debtors. It's something we need to do. Sometimes our sins act as a barrier in our communication with God. We need his forgiveness. And we need his help also to forgive others. And then he says, when you've talked about the person and the program and the provisions and the pardon, ask your Father for protection. Lead us not into temptation. That's battle language that he's using there. Protect and help me from falling away, Lord. Jesus is actually using kind of a way of talking, using a negative to state a positive. For instance, if I were to say to you, that's no small matter. What it really means is that's a big deal. So when Jesus says, lead me not into temptation, he's saying, keep me away from temptation. Now, what I love in this story is Jesus then goes on to say, let me give you a couple pictures of the one you're talking to that might give you more confidence and assurance as you approach God in prayer. He gives a story of a friend who has to be awakened in the middle of the night, who finally gives in to his friend who's asking for bread to serve someone else that's visiting. It's Jesus' way of saying, you know, if this friend responds after all this pestering, your Heavenly Father is such a better friend than that. He's so attentive to your needs. He's not like that friend at all. In fact, some scholars will say that Jesus wasn't really talking about even the fact that he was pestering the friend. He was basically saying, can you imagine a friend who won't answer his door in the middle of the night? Because that wouldn't happen in a Middle Eastern village. It would be a shaming thing for that individual to turn a friend away. So if that friend is able to get up in the middle of the night after being called upon by another friend, how much more will your Heavenly Father respond to you and pay attention to your cries? And then he says, and by the way, he says, which of you as fathers would, if your son or daughter asked you for a fish, you'd give him a snake, or an egg and give him a scorpion? He says, you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more your Heavenly Father will respond to those who cry out to him and give them his Holy Spirit. He's greater than any friend, Jesus is saying. He's greater than any father. His attentiveness, his grace and generosity is unsurpassing. And I love the promise he finishes this off with. He says he will give the Holy Spirit. God wants to himself come and work in you, empowering you to give you his Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit's job description, the ultimate gift, to to bring about change, to make us stronger. Have you ever heard that phrase, prayer changes things? Do you believe it? I do. But even more importantly, prayer changes me. Prayer changes me. As the Holy Spirit then is operating within me and changing me, making me stronger in love and kindness and joy and boldness and self-control. Someone once said, God's power flows primarily to people who pray. And that's what is being said here by Jesus. Now, case in point, a little case study. Remember this Pentecost story when the disciples are in the upper room? When the Holy Spirit came upon them, what were they doing? You're right, they were praying. Now, before the Holy Spirit came upon them, how would you describe the disciples? Bawk, 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 bawk. They were chickens, weren't they? They were afraid. But after the Holy Spirit came upon them, they suddenly became courageous soldiers of the gospel. Unstoppable. Not only does God's power flow primarily to people who pray, but God's power also flows primarily through people who pray. Again, case study, the Pentecost story again. Those disciples were praying and the Holy Spirit came upon them. And after the Holy Spirit came upon them and they began to share the gospel, what happened? They were effective, weren't they? They were charged. They were fired up, ignited in the Holy Spirit. And thousands upon thousands came to believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for their salvation. God's power flows primarily to people who pray, and God's power flows primarily through people who pray. We become a channel of grace, a conduit for the Holy Spirit power to have an impact on the lives of people that come in contact with us. We become effective, more effective than we could ever dream of becoming. And yet all too often within the Church of Jesus Christ today, prayer seems to get put on the shelf. Jim Cimbala, in his book Fresh Wind and Fire, writes, does anyone really believe that America today is lacking preachers, Bible translations, and neat doctrinal statements? What we really lack is the passion to call upon the Lord until he opens the heavens and shows himself powerful. We need to be plugging into the power connection that God has offered us through prayer. I sometimes wonder where our ministry would be in this country if the people of God grew in the habit of prayer. If we became people known for our turning to Him in prayer, that we would be on our knees. Behind every work of God in the past, you're always going to find some kneeling form. Billy Graham's asked, what's the most important thing we do before we go into a community to do our crusades? The secret is pray, pray, pray. Could there be revival in America? Heaven knows we need one. If the people of God would begin to really pray. Pray for God to work inside of us and pray for God to flow through us into the lives of others. That's my appeal today. If you want to grow stronger on the inside and make a difference on the outside, it's really very simple. Jesus tells us, pray, pray, and pray. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this lesson on prayer today. And you've made it clear to us in your word that you want your people to turn to you in prayer. We thank you for that privilege. Help us to grow in that discipline so that we might become stronger inside and more effective in serving you in this world that needs Christ. In his name we ask this. Amen. Now, as you go on your way, may Christ go with you. May he go before you to show you the way, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over, and within you to give you his peace. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray today's message has helped you remember to pray, so you may grow inside and make a difference on the outside. Christian Crusaders cares deeply about the spiritual lives of our listeners. If you have a concern for which you desire prayer, please contact us by visiting our webpage and follow the Is This For Me link. Our board of directors and staff are dedicated to lifting up our listeners to the throne of grace through intercessory prayer. All requests are kept confidential. Christian Crusaders has been blessed throughout our 80-year history with generous and faithful listeners who have supported this ministry with their prayers and financial gifts. If you are able, please consider making a contribution to this ministry so we can continue bringing the good news of Jesus Christ's death and resurrection to our world. Gifts can be directed to Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613, or visit our website at christiancrusaders.org. CDs and printed copies of our programs are available free of charge. However, a gift of any amount to help cover production and mailing costs is always appreciated. Address your requests to Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our email address is cc@naz.org. Our toll-free telephone number is 888-MY-FAITH. That's 888-693-2484. We are pleased you chose to worship with us this day, and we pray you will join us again next Sunday on this station. Conducting our service was the Reverend Steve Kramer, Senior Pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in Afton, Minnesota, and speaker on Christian Crusaders, now in its 80th year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.